straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards that zero-turn lawnmower you've always wanted. And after using its edge-shaping technology to meticulously sculpt the face of the Mona Lisa into your grass, you'll become the undisputed king of Saturday morning lawn care, leaving your neighbor and sworn enemy Gary to question his place in the delicate neighborhood ecosystem. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice sounding so legendary? Honey, and how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Helene is now a tropical depression which left a trail of destruction in its wake. ABC's Faith Abuba in Atlanta.
The winds of Helene have not been as much of an issue as much as the rain it's dumping on this area. Officials tell us that at least 25 people had to be rescued, and then nearby they had to rescue an infant and two adults. They were stuck on top of their vehicle with rushing water around them.
At least 28 deaths are blamed on Helene. New York City Mayor Eric Adams pleaded not guilty to 5 federal charges at his arraignment today. His attorneys say they will move next week to dismiss those charges. A day after he met with President Biden and Vice President Harris, Ukraine's President Zelensky met with former President Trump. The meeting comes as many Republicans are reluctant to continue to support Ukraine's war effort. Vice President Harris outlines her border security policies during a visit today to the Arizona border. This is ABC News. Helping. It turns out you don't need to work out every day to reap the benefits of exercise. A new study finds being a weekend warrior or cramming your physical activity into your weekend is just as effective as reducing your health risks as spreading the workouts out through the week. But researchers say it's not how frequently, but how much exercise you do over time. Actress Dame Maggie Smith, known for the Harry Potter films, Downton Abbey, and many other long roles over a long career, has died.
A statement from her family confirmed the death of Dame Maggie Smith, known for roles which spanned the generations.
That was bloody brilliant.
Oh, thank you for that assessment, Mr. Weasley. Perhaps it would be more useful if I were to transfigure Mr. Potter and yourself into a pocket watch.
And fondly remembered by fans of Downton Abbey.
Lord Grantham wanted to protect...
That's ABC's Tom Rivers. Dame Maggie Smith was 89. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Wisconsin's state superintendent of public instruction is asking the state legislature to double its reimbursement of special education costs to local school districts. Jill Underley says the current reimbursement rate of 35.5% isn't enough.
And it means many districts continue to struggle to afford to provide services and retain staff. And as a state, we need to help districts afford the cost of special education services. These services are legally mandated. It's the right thing to do.
Underley made a request during her annual State of Education address at the Capitol in Madison Thursday. A new Wisconsin Policy Forum report says Wisconsin could save big by expanding Medicaid.
The report says Medicaid expansion would add between 72,000 and 90,900 residents to the program and save the state $1.7 billion over the next 2 years. However, healthcare providers and insurers would no longer benefit from Affordable Care Act tax credits, and some providers could see reimbursements reduced. Wisconsin is one of only 10 states that have not accepted federal funding to expand Medicaid. Governor Tony Evers has proposed expansion in each of his biennial budgets, but has met resistance from the Republican-controlled legislature. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Former President Donald Trump is expected to address immigration at a weekend campaign event in Prairie du Chien, where Dr. Scott Walker is the Democrat running for state assembly.
Republicans have made the case that immigration is the biggest problem facing Wisconsin. And I'm not sure that's true.
Republican incumbent Representative Travis Tranel says legal immigration needs reform.
Where we make people that are here and not willing to work or not in the workforce for one reason or another get into the workforce, somebody has to do these jobs.
Trump is scheduled to speak Saturday afternoon at the Prairie du Chien Area Arts Center. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
The warm weather continues in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Sunshine throughout the day today, highs low 80s. Light winds becoming north at around 5. Tonight, clear, lows mid-50s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs mid-80s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football tonight. The Panthers host Spectrum. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN and online at realcountry1430.com.
It is the end of the last full week of September, and corn, soybeans, and most wheat contracts ended the week with higher prices. And I mean not just a couple of cents. Soybeans had a great finish to an even better week thanks to a monster rally in soybean meal. Live cattle were mixed, feeder cattle were higher, and lean hog futures ended with mostly lower prices.
Live from the edge of October via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Angie Setzer from Kansas. Later, Glenn Tonser, K-State Extension Economist. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, the edge of October, huh?
Right there.
I like that.
Right,
I like
there.
That very much. So now the people that have had their Halloween decorations up in their front yard for the last 3 weeks,
yep.
you know, since
yep.
Labor Day, I guess it starts to make a little bit more sense now. Does that happen down at KC?
You know, I don't know.
Oh.
I really haven't paid attention at all.
I've seen it up
much.
Here.
No. Usually down the street, you know, the neighbors have got like the tombstones and the, you know,
yeah.
the skeletons in the trees
yeah.
and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Yeah, I'd like to see that guy's to-do list for this weekend.
This might be the weekend.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis Michelson. Yeah, we've got a heck of a show coming your way. At the end of the show, we're going to have a conversation with Glenn Tonser about what's going on in beef and pork demand. We'll talk a little bit also about what Glenn sees for the expansion phase in the beef herd, the beef cow herd.
Okay.
He's got some interesting thoughts there, and we've got those for you coming up at the end of the show. But first, I've got a long list of items that I want to talk about with Angie Setzer from Kansas. Looking forward to the conversation with Angie. We got a lot of news. Let's go ahead and get to it, buddy.
For sure. Well, December soft red winter wheat futures are back into a sideways trading range, and again traded on both sides of the pivotal 580. The front month contract, however, did close below uptrending support from the August low. December hard red winter wheat futures are also using 580 as a pivot point and spent the entire session today below that level.
Yeah.
The contract did, however, respect support
yeah.
at the uptrend from the August low. Spring wheat futures followed winter wheat prices lower, but the December contract did respect support near 606. Position evening ahead of Monday's annual small grains summary and reaction to the strike at the Port of Vancouver weighed on prices. December HRW wheat futures 2¼ cents lower today at 576¾. December SRW wheat down 4¼ to 580 even. December spring wheat closed at 608¼, down 3¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, watch what's going on in that HRW market. That the all-day trade below 580 is not very encouraging, but the fact that it stayed above that uptrend, I think, is it gives us some hope there. On the week, December SRW futures up 11½ cents, December HRW up 12¾, and December spring wheat futures up just a quarter of a penny.
Well, Chip, corn futures rode a wave of buying in the soy complex to end with moderate gains. Traders were evening positions ahead of Monday's quarterly grain stocks report and factored in a continued drought in Brazil and Argentina. Today's higher prices were evidence the market is not overly concerned about an interruption in corn movement to Mexico due to rail disruptions at the border. December corn futures opened slightly lower and spiked support at yesterday's low before rallying to spike resistance at yesterday's high and to get within a quarter of a penny of 420. Today's price action puts front month corn in position to test resistance at the July 25 high of 423½. December corn futures 4¾ cents higher at 418. March corn up 4 cents to 435. July corn futures closed at 450½. That's up 3¾ cents, Chip.
Yeah, that move up close to 420, I think it probably triggered some farmer selling out there today, which I think it probably should. We'll talk to Angie about that coming up here in just a little bit. December corn on the week. Get this. The last full week of September. December corn up 16¼ cents. March corn up 15 cents.
All right. Well, Chip, soybean futures traded solidly higher at mid-morning and added to gains in afternoon trade. A solid rally in soybean meal futures helped support big gains in the bean market, but that was balanced by the sell-off in bean oil. Bean oil prices were lower despite a daily export sale of 20,000 metric tons to South Korea. The early season drought in Argentina and key areas of Brazil helped the bean rally, and selling was limited by the heavy rain on a harvest-ready bean crop in the southeastern United States, resulting from Hurricane Helene. November beans opened slightly lower and dipped through support at yesterday's low before rallying through resistance at yesterday's close. Today's outside trading day with a high-range close helps to build upside momentum in the soy complex. December soybean meal posted a massive upside reversal and closed at the highest level since June 24. Man. November soybean futures 24¾ cents higher today, 10.65¾. January beans up 23¾ to 10.83. March beans closed at 10.95¼. That's up 22¼ cents.
Yeah, we're going to have to spend adequate time with Angie on what's going on in this soy complex. And I think there's probably several things that are at play that are impacting the market here at the end of September. Now, you mentioned the big rally in soybean meal. Dees meal today up $17.30 a ton to $344.10. That was while Dees oil, bean oil, was down 54 points to 42.36. So big spread action in the products today. There's no question about it. And we saw some spread action on the week as well. December bean oil on the week was up 100 points, but December soybean meal was up $24.90 a ton. So wow. A big advantage to soybean meal there. November beans on the week up 53¾ cents. March beans on the week up 52½. Impressive move at the end of September.
Well, Chip, December cotton traded sharply higher and sharply lower before ending with modest losses. Traders are trying to figure out the extent of damage to the Georgia cotton crop following Hurricane Helene. December cotton today was 30 points lower at 72.72, Chip.
On the week, December cotton was off 80 points. We got a lot of figuring to do to get a handle on what happened to that crop here over the last 24 hours.
Well, Chip, despite strength in the cash market and this morning's 50-cent gain in heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices, Nearby live cattle futures were lower, with back month futures slightly higher. December live cattle were 35 cents lower at 184.47 and one half. February futures down a dime, 185.55. And November feeder futures 72 and one half cents higher at 245.70. On your snout side, following yesterday's quarterly hogs and pigs report that was called slightly negative for nearby cash lean hogs, December hogs were 55 cents lower, 73.37 and one half. February, 32 and one half lower at 77.50, Chip.
Yeah, yesterday when the report was out, I gave it a mostly neutral read, but when you break it down and look at that market hog inventory, the heavyweight market hogs, not just the dead, you know, what would have been already processed since September 1, but the heavyweight market hog numbers were up more than what the trade indicated or anticipated, so it's a little bit negative there. On the week, December live cattle futures up $1.27.5, November feeder cattle up $3.92.5, and December lean hog futures on the week down 85 cents. All right, we've got Angie Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting, coming up next here on AgriTalk.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most: our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
Your needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit firestoneag.com.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures. Under options.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabus Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
At Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Beck's. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at beckshybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. It is Friday afternoon, and it is time to put a bow on this week. And helping us do that is Angie Setzer from Consus Ag Consulting, Angie at Goddess of Grain. How are you, Angie?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
Doing real fine, real fine. Glad that you are here. I just want to start by getting your general take on what took place this week. It is the last full week of September. We had bean prices up more than 50 cents on the week, and corn prices up more than 15 cents on the week. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, I started the week. I think my first tweet of the week was, are you guys ready to party this week? Because I sure am. It felt like we were on the cusp of it, but I definitely didn't think we'd see this performance this week. But yeah, I mean, a whole host of things, right? The meal was being driven by reports here today that the EUDR, that European Union Deforestation Regulation, there had been a lot of hope that that would be pushed back. The implementation of that would be pushed back. Apparently, that's not going to be. It would take legislation to do so. It's been one of the things that I had read a while back that it, you know, with it being brought into law, it would take legislation and an agreement among all 27 member nations to kick that out. And so that's part of what happened. Apparently, there's a commercial that's short meal. Meal supplies out of Brazil are exceptionally tight because the farmer, you know, it has farmer selling's dwindled down and some other factors at play there. And so when it comes down to it, the U.S. is the best game in town for soybean meal. And so we've, you know, saw someone caught on the wrong side and, you know, giddy up. Here we go.
Yeah.
So that was part of it, of course. There's a whole host of other things with China stimulus and we could go on forever.
So, European deforestation thing, is that some sort of a indirect land use or a direct land use?
Direct land use. So it's a direct land use issue. So basically, like what it requires is there's, I think, seven different commodities. Soybeans falls into one of them as one of them. Where the traders, anyone that's accessing supply, needs to have paperwork and certification stating that the product that they're sourcing or trading has not participated in any type of deforestation for 4 years, I believe it is, upwards of 10 years, depending the paperwork that we had signed. There are some processors in the U.S. that are already rolling this out to fall into line with the requirements that the European Union is putting out there. The paperwork that we signed said 10 years for the grower. But it really just says that no one's come in and taken trees off from these pieces of land and over except in a certain amount of time. And that's what the EU wants. And so the US basically looks like they'll be the best to benefit from this transition. Brazilian producers are already very, very upset about it. But, you know, Brazil's exports of soybeans into the EU, I think it's like 14% of their total book. So for them, it's kind of a bump in the road. But for the US, it could be a decent windfall, and it's something to watch. I mean, to me, it's surprising that we haven't heard much about it, considering that it could really change global trade flows in soybeans and soybean products.
You never know what's behind the market in this age of, you know, climate sustainability or whatever we're calling it today.
Yeah.
You just never know what might be the trigger for something like this. Here, I was just looking at the old tried and true, it's dry in Argentina, it's dry in Brazil.
Oh, and that's something that's behind. Obviously, that helps. And you have China stimulus, and we've had a little bit of an ebb and flow, some volatility in the bean market this week that could be attributed to kind of both. I mean, there was some talk. There was a rumor that was floated. So remember when beans had rallied and then we fell off? Was that Tuesday where we had Monday was really good, right? Tuesday was really good. And then we fell. That was the day that the rumor came out that the European Union leadership was going to evaluate how they could postpone the implementation because this starts at the end of December. And so this rumor circulated among the cash market. Everyone's been waiting on trying to cover their needs. That's been the funny part, too, is like it's almost like every year at the elevator, we were surprised that wheat harvest happened in July. Same sort of thing. Like we've known since last June of 2023, that this was coming at the end of 2024. And everyone now is just starting to panic. And so it's kind of interesting to see. And, you know, it's resulting in some $50 to $80 a ton premiums for meal into Europe. It'll be definitely something that's going to affect how the market trades here in the short term. And it should help to cover any sort of lax Chinese demand that we thought we were going to see if we see that now with the stimulus.
Right.
The China stimulus. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. Yesterday, Michelle Rook was in for Davis, and we were talking a little bit about it. And I said, you know what? This feels like one of those weeks that a year from now, we're going to look back and say, you know, that's when this started. That's when this Chinese commodity buying started.
Yeah.
Overstating that or not?
I don't know, you know, simply because we do have pretty adequate grain reserves, and it does appear as though they've had a pretty decent harvest this last go around. Now, you know, questions still remain. I've heard some people say that the harvest wasn't great, that it was impacted by early drought and middle of the year flooding and some of these other things with corn. But they're obviously predicting a record corn harvest, and they've got a reasonable access to beans. They've been importing a record amount of beans from Brazil, you know, for the last several months. And so but I do think it's there. I think more than anything, this is the turning point in Chinese sentiment. And so it's kind of a bummer for a lot of folks who just kind of caught on that they were supposed to be super bearish about the China outlook with their economy and things like that. You know, that didn't really last long. I feel like this summer we saw it hit a fever pitch here over the last month or so about China and how bad things were going to be. But it was pretty clear that Xi's back was against the wall. When you start to see the state-backed think tanks and economists put out in the People's Daily and the South China Morning Post that they need to be putting in some sort of direct-to-consumer stimulus and all of these other things, you know, the handwriting felt like it was on the wall. China couldn't wait much longer. And so to see what they did, I mean, this was beyond, I think, what a lot of folks thought a bazooka style stimulus package would have.
Exactly.
You know, you're talking a huge injection of liquidity into the market, into the banking system. I mean, we're talking $140 billion allocated for consumer stimulus, $140 billion allocated for local governments to be able to unwind their debt that they are still experiencing from like 08 and forward. You know, so you could say some disappointing factors where it wasn't just $100 trillion given to everyone or something like that. You know, like someone's going to be disappointed along the way. But Xi has made it clear, and they said it after their leadership meeting this week, that they were going to do whatever it took, all necessary fiscal measures to meet their growth targets. And so they're going to throw, you know, how many quarters of growth they're going to need to try to get from 2.5%, 3% worth of growth here the first three quarters of the year, if that, and try to make it into 5 on this last one. And so, I mean, I think even if it doesn't directly turn into massive imports of grain, it will indirectly. Because I think you're going to be able to turn around consumer confidence. And then the other thing that was really interesting, and I'll stop talking about it, but it is exciting, and I think it's definitely something to watch. Their desire to A, support new businesses and entrepreneurship, and B, support those who need social welfare programs. And so you've seen them, you know, look to add in more welfare, more you know, like they're looking to buy properties in order to convert them into low income housing. And so there's some other things, a stipend for children. Like, China is changing how they're doing things, and this week was pretty interesting.
As long as you've got two. As long as you've got two.
Yes, over one. Yeah.
Yep, one
which is such a – I mean, I'm old enough. I've been in this long enough to remember when the second kid was announced in, like, 07, wasn't it? Like, you know, now we're paying for it.
Yeah, and now you're getting incentives to have that second. It's when your population trends turn as negative as what they are, you got to get there. I don't know if we can handle all of this one before we get to the break, but I want to take a shot so that we can talk marketing in the next segment, mostly Ukraine and Russia.
There's not enough time to talk about that. That's huge. Over the weekend, that thing could just blow up, for lack of a better term. I mean, I don't think Putin's saber rattling at this point. And I think that you know, Biden has made it clear that before he leaves office, he wants to get Ukraine set for victory. The quote victory plan doesn't look like anything that the administration's going to sign off from that Zelensky has floated. But you know, really, he's pressuring the administration in a big way. To allow them to use these long-range weapons. The UK has already said that that was fine, that that would be something that they would sign off from. On, you know, the US has said, we don't really know. That was part of why we saw wheat rally to 598 or so a couple weeks back, because we thought that decision was just going to happen, and it still hasn't. But I mean, that whole entire situation at this point, the experts that I read, and I've been following some really, really smart people in that side of the whole entire world here for the last couple of years, they think it continues to escalate, and it's definitely something to be paying attention to.
Yeah, well, to me, it looked like this week Putin put nuclear options back on the table.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that scares the heck out of me. He's not going to talk about it unless he intends to, unless he would be willing to use it. And it's very unnerving, no doubt about it. We're talking with Angie Setzer from Consys. Okay, grain marketing coming up next.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BecksHybrids.com.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. Where December HRW wheat futures were 2¼ cents lower at 576¾. December SRW wheat down 4¼ to 580 even. December corn futures were 4¾ cents higher at 418. March corn up 4 cents to 435. November soybean futures 24¾ cents higher at 1065¾. January beans up 23¾ cents to 1083. December cotton today 30 points lower at 72.72. On your livestock's December fat cattle were 35 cents lower at 184.47½. November feeders 72½ higher at 245.70. And December lean hog futures today 55 cents lower, 73.37½. Visit tryprofarmer.com for more.
Retirement can be
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Angie Setzer, Consys Ag Consulting. Okay, Angie, let's go here first. Monday's quarterly grain stocks report, annual small grain summary. The market, it felt like they did some positioning for those reports. What are you watching for? Anything in particular?
Well, the biggest thing I'm watching is just to see if ending stocks land where the USDA says they should be landing. You know, that's what I love about the quarterly stocks number in September is it gives us that final little push of information. You know, I kind of argued throughout the year that the cash market felt tighter than what the ending stocks projected yep. would indicate. You know, and really it felt that way until the last, what, 2-3 weeks of the marketing year when everyone kind of just let her loose. You know, and so I think that there's a possibility there that we could be in for a little bit of a surprise. But if we don't see one, then we just kind of move on to you know, next marketing year and what that looks like. The small grains production number always is a bit of a wild card, too. You know, obviously wheat production and some of these figures will be adjusted. And so that could be something that could surprise us. You know, and I'll be paying attention to that closely because we got to have wheat on board in order to get corn, you know, off to the races, I feel like. And so it'll be something I'll be watching to see where it ends up versus what the USDA has been projecting because they've been increasing yield in wheat here or production in wheat here the last couple of reports.
Yeah. Okay, some transportation, logistic issues that are mm-hmm. coming up. We've got the port strike in Vancouver. Montreal has given its indication that there's going to be a port strike in Montreal. We've got the issues at the Gulf Coast, the mm-hmm. East Coast, the rail across, you know, hauling grain from U.S. into Mexico, mm-hmm. River levels on the Mississippi. How does that all come into play on what your thoughts are for these markets going forward?
Well, thank goodness everyone else in the world is dealing with logistic issues, right? You know, Brazil and Argentina are struggling with problems with their river levels. Northern ports, you know, are almost impossible to get to out of Brazil right now. That's really increased their freight costs and increased the export costs that Brazilian exporters are offering and really cut into their available supply. You know, and Argentina is obviously a little bit slower. They've been shipping out some bushels, but they're also struggling with some other logistical issues, and they have the on again, off again strike problems that yeah. Canada seems to be dealing with now. I don't know what's been going on up there lately, but you know, and then of course we have the Mexico trying to untie the knots there, and so you've seen both the UP BNSF say that they aren't going to issue new permits, you know, as they try to work through this backlog of cars that they're unable to move, and you know, a whole plethora of logistical issues, and so one of the things that I'll say in this kind of, you know, makes me sound like Pollyanna optimism, but you don't, you know, we're really working through, you don't have logistical issues or logistical backlogs like we're seeing in New Mexico and some of these other things without having just massive demand, you know, yeah. And so that's part of what's influenced that, you know, and so we slow up a little bit. We work to untangle some of these knots and learn how to manage an export program that's 3 to 5 to 7. I mean, how many million metric ton was Mexico's import program larger than what we'd seen the year prior, you know, and maybe that's not an indication of the future. But I think it's something that is somewhat positive. And like I said, you know, I think the Mississippi will see some river levels kind of get themselves worked through. The lack of offering permits is going to help to untie some knots. Hopefully we're able to facilitate better, you know, movement going forward there through Mexico. And then the strikes, I hope the U.S. seems to have set a precedent that they will make sure that we work through these things, that we don't, you know, really mess up supply chains and some of these other situations, like with the rail strike we were going to see a year mm-hmm. or so ago. But it's all stuff that causes hiccups. And when you want to be the world's reliable supplier, you've got to be able to kind of work through them. And I think the U.S. has proven that they can, but it's still less than ideal.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Every now and then I see something on Twitter that piques my interest, and I like to bring it up from time to time. Somebody earlier this week tweeted out to me, when it comes to what I watch in the markets, it feels as simple as asking, is it getting easier or harder for the world's end users to source supplies?
Yeah.
That was well said. Angie.
It's very rare for me to be able to come up with a thought and make it succinct like that, Chip. I hope you understand.
That was very well thought. You must have been thinking about that all last weekend.
I had been, actually, because that was one thing. So Carl spent a lot of time working with Doug Jackson from FC Stone, you know, and so Doug, honestly, like on the Hall of Fame of people who, you know, you and Doug and like people who have influenced me in my market analysis and what I pay attention to and things like that. And that was one of the questions that Doug always asked, is the crop getting bigger or smaller? Are the ending stocks, is ending stocks getting bigger or smaller? And to me now in a global market, the question is the world's end user able to access supplies easier or is it more difficult for them than what it was a year ago? And it's a heck of a lot more difficult. If you look out into the world market structure and all of the things that have happened, it is night and day versus a year ago. And so that's the part that tripped me up the most here, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever, when everyone was so bearish. And I get it, the U.S. crop was big and there were all these things. But when you look at the world and you look at what happened in Ukraine with production and what you see happen between Russia and Ukraine when it comes to logistics, when you look at Brazil and you know, the production reduction year over year that they had and you know, the increase in on-farm storage and bags and the way that the market structure changed to where it's Brazil, Argentina, and the U.S. that are neck and neck when it comes to offering bushels into the market. I mean, it's a totally different world. But even like the things that you just mentioned with the logistics in the U.S., all these other people are dealing with logistical headaches too. So the U.S. is problematic, but it's not like we're the only ones. And so the world end user out there has kind of been told that they don't have to worry, that there's just a never-ending supply that they can tap into right away, right? We're back to just-in-time purchasing. And I think that that could prove problematic for a lot of folks in the because I think they're going to make a lot of assumptions that are probably old assumptions or based on information that's not necessarily up to date.
Awesome. Awesome. Good thoughts. Sometimes when I see thoughts crystallized like that, it grounds you. It gets you back to thinking about the things that are really important. And that's one of the things that are really important. So yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, what do we do about this? We're up from the highs that we saw back in August, corn, soybeans, wheat. What do you want to do about it?
You have to be participating. And so one of the things that I said to my growers or what I've been saying to my growers, because we were caught off guard, we were caught flat-footed. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that, you know, I saw all of this coming and we sold everything at the high of the market months ago, but that's not true. You know, we were somewhat flat-footed. Beans, I think I blacked out at one point. They fell so hard and so fast. I'm not really sure what happened. You know, and so one of the things that I've said to a lot of my growers is like, listen, if I'd had my wits about me, you know, we'd have been selling every 50 cents on the way down instead of on the way up. Because usually scale selling is an upward motion, you know, every 50 cents higher on 10% increments. And so if I'd had my wits about me, obviously we'd have been selling 12.50, 12, 11.50, 11, 10.50. And so we're going to start that. That's going to be my target. I'm looking at all of these things around the world. I'm looking at these meal changes. I'm looking at the vegetable oil. I'm hearing experts in the vegetable oil market around the world say that the global vegetable oil situation is one of the tightest that they've seen in the year ahead. And so that gives me pause, you know, but it is one of those things where you have to reward a market when it bounces back a buck. And so for me, if you're a grower that's sitting there who's completely uncovered and hadn't done much in beans or sitting well below where you'd want to be, throw 10% at this market, throw 20% at this market, and then have a target order in place another 40, 50 cents higher and be an engaged marketer. And when that one fills, take a look at what's going on in the situation around you. Maybe you want to add a little bit more in because the market's petering out. Maybe you want to put another target order in 40 or 50 cents higher, but you have to be involved and you have to be paying attention to where we've been, where we could head, and just make sure that you're participating.
What do you want to do to capture the carry that's in the market?
Look at your deferred cash sales. I mean, you can trade spreads if you want. You can buy, you can sell, you know, futures only in deferred markets if you want. I mean, there's a couple few different ways that you can go about it. But the simplest way, especially if you're in an area that has reasonably decent basis, if you're out west and you know, probably in an area that's going to have more corn available through the pipeline throughout the year this year than what you've seen in the past or something like that, and you can still throw out some decent cash values that are above your point of profitability, don't be afraid to just write a cash contract for June shipment next year if someone will buy it at 450 or better and that's what you're looking for. You know, like there's a bunch of different ways that you can get to where you can capture that carry. the only way that you can't get to where you're capturing that carry, well, there's a couple different ways. A is you do nothing and you just wait because that's not guaranteed. And B is you throw it into a commercial elevator because they're the ones that are going to capture the carry, not you, unfortunately.
Right. Right. Exactly. Wow. We covered a lot of ground here, Andy.
And there's so much more we could talk about, but it's, I mean, biggest thing I want to throw out there is I do think sentiment is changing. I think that, you know, like I said before, I think the world end user and their ability to access supplies is quite a bit different than what it was. And I think when you look at outside markets and you look at the possibility of us seeing, you know, inflation return, like we're looking at another 50 basis point rate cut probably this year, maybe more with the PCE figures that we saw. You've got China stimulating their economy. You've got the EU aggressively cutting their interest rates. I mean, around the world, everyone's kind of got their mission accomplished sign up when it comes to battling inflation, you know, except for the middle class or anyone that actually has to pay for anything. And so yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, I want to make sure everyone keeps their head up and keeps their head on a swivel too, and remain engaged and set a plan in place now about what you're trying to accomplish, you know. And if you break your crop up into 10% increments and you sell soybeans every 50 cents, you're going to capture a pretty significant amount of rally. And so don't be afraid to be active.
All right. Angie, give yourself a high five from me, okay?
That was good. Right, I'll do that.
I loved it.
Thanks,
I loved it. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Angie. Angie Setzer.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Consus Ag Consulting. All right. It is time to get back on the road. We're heading down to Manhattan, Kansas, K-State, for a conversation with Glenn Thompson.
Retirement.
Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls, North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services. Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
I'm Dr. Lowell Steen, Chief of Cardiology at Loyola University Medical Center, with Ira Antelis, founder of 120 Life, a drink that supports healthy blood pressure.
It's great to be here, literally, because I almost wasn't. 5 years ago, I got a terrifying warning from my doctor that my blood pressure was off the charts.
That must have really shaken you.
It did, but I knew there had to be a natural way to lower my blood pressure. So I developed 120 Life, a juice blend to help lower blood pressure.
How much did your blood pressure drop?
In 2 weeks, it dropped 30 points.
That's remarkable. And no side effects?
None. It's all natural superfruits and key minerals, and it's helped thousands of customers lower their blood pressure.
Where can you get 120 Life?
Just go to 120life.com, that's 120life.com, and use the code JUICE for 15% off. If your numbers don't improve, I'll send your money back.
So you really have nothing to lose. Take control of your blood pressure today by visiting 120life.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Independence and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hi, I'm Mike Howell, host of The Dirt.
an economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
What can a grower do to reduce the amount of nitrogen that they're losing, whether that be to leaching or volatilization or denitrification?
I would say the biggest thing we use here is usually number one source of nitrogen is fall applied. And I would say almost 99 to 100% of the growers that I'm using are putting on nitrogen stabilizer. But I would say the bigger thing is that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, there's a lot more trending of nitrogen to spring applied. And then following that buck up with more in-season nitrogen as the crop is closer to needing it. And when it's there and it's actually growing, that's when it's pulling it up.
Yeah, so to add on to what Jeff mentioned, nitrogen stabilizers, there's actually multiple different forms, right? So we think about nitrification inhibitors, so that blocks the conversion of ammonium to nitrate, which is the form that can be leached out of that system. We also have urease inhibitors, so if you're using urea, UAN, even manure, you use these and it helps keep the nitrogen in the urea form, gives time to hopefully get some rainfall washed into the soil. So those are really the two big ones. We also have some extended release fertilizers, so coated fertilizers, right? They have a coating on them. Over time, it breaks down and releases the nitrogen into the soil. So that helps keep that nitrogen in the form that we want to keep it in the soil to where the plant can use it.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com, and stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Farm Journal is back on the College Roadshow. Big thanks to Bex for their support for the Roadshow. Glenn Tonzer, professor and extension specialist at Kansas State University. He specializes in livestock and meat marketing and price analysis. And Glenn constructs the Meat Demand Monitor. It provides important insights into what is happening on the demand side of the meat markets. He joins us right now. Glenn, it's good to talk to you again. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having us on here, Chip.
You bet. You bet. All right. So talk to me about what you are learning from some of the movement in the meat demand monitor. What's the status?
Yeah, and Chip, if I may, let me remind your listeners, this is a beef and pork checkoff funded project, been going on since February 2020, and everything, the original data, the ongoing reports, even links to things like you and I talking here, you can find our agmanager.info website. So we're going to touch on some topics, but probably not break it all down. Your listeners are encouraged to go there for more details, or they're welcome to email me. That said, what we're seeing is an ongoing shift in retail. So think grocery store for at-home consumption. So retail demand for meat is okay, if not improving a little bit month to month. And food service, so think away-from-home consumption, is pretty soft. And we'll break that down on why I think it's going on. But I think it's as simple as the public wants meat. We have lots of signals they want meat, but their household budgets are under pressure. And they're going out to restaurants less than they once were. And that's what we're seeing play out market channel by market channel.
Okay. Are you seeing any trends that suggest there's a slowdown there in movement? And start with beef, that there's a slowdown in movement of beef.
Yeah, I would say overall domestic beef demand. So this is the net of those two market channels that I just tried to separate is okay. So it's nothing to get great about, but I don't think the sky's falling either. So that would be my trend for the last 3 or 4 months. It's also important to keep in mind, there's a lot of discussion about sticker price, right? The asking price on beef in particular, lots of discussion in the general media about that. And those prices are higher for several reasons. And one of them is as simple as, and this is not unique to beef, is overall inflation in an economy does that. So, you know, I bought a vehicle yesterday for a teenager and, you know, they don't give those away either. So lots of things are higher, right, than they once were. And that's just inflation at work. That doesn't make it fun to talk about. I'm not trying to dismiss the emotion and the, you know, the real implications of affordability. But I'm trying to take the edge off of, it's not unique to meat, is the point. So inflation overall and the simple cost of doing business is at play. And when you have a category that the public values, which on balance is meat, because people like having meat protein in their diet, over 80% of the U.S. is a regular consumer of meat products, is where that's coming from. Then you have that, you know, that pull up, or that demand pressure that pulls up prices. So both are pulling up prices, and therefore we should overreact to higher beef prices.
Okay. Boy, you are exactly right in your comment that it has been in the headlines. I mean, it's at the highest level. When you've got Vice President Harris talking about the price of beef and how she plans to do something about it and to look into price gouging at the grocery level and everything. I mean, beef prices are kind of a poster child for inflation for the Harris campaign right now. I'm not overstating that, am I?
No, and Chip, you know, I'm always a little careful to, you know, it's sort of my job to depoliticize things, but I am well aware of what you're talking about, and my engagement with the media has been around that. I mean, I will give you, let's call it Tonser's opinion, so we don't attribute to anybody else, is I don't see evidence of what might be called gouging. Rather, I see evidence of the cost of production and lots of things in our economy, and this is why I teed it up the way I did, not unique to the meat and livestock, and certainly not unique to cattle rearing, is quite a bit higher. I'm going to give a talk here, you know, Stocker Field Day is a big event that you mentioned, Ty Morgan's going to help highlight. And then I speak to lenders next week and so forth. And core to those broader outlook discussions is, you know, I'll give you an example here, is the cost of, you know, just simply maintaining a cow in the beef cow herd compared to 4 years ago is 25 to 35% higher, depending on whose numbers you use. Well, simple economics is eventually those costs get passed on. And it's also one of the reasons we haven't expanded the herd yet, is because yes, prices are higher, but the net margins for producers are not as good as they were 10 years ago, the last time we had, you know, record returns for cow-calf producers. So I'm trying to give you this point is calf prices are elevated, and that's great for cattle producers, but they're not as high as they need to be to match profitability from 10 years ago, because the cost of maintaining that cow is quite a bit higher. So that doesn't align with the gouging discussion. Rather, it is elevated cost of lots of things consistent with general inflation in our economy.
Yep. Okay, I know you've been doing some beef and cattle market situation and outlook out there. Any signs of expansion in the beef herd yet?
Nationally, in aggregate, no. I mean, I think we all know individual producers, individual pockets that might be doing it. But right. My job as a market analyst to kind of answer it nationally. I think we're actually going to probably start, you know, January 2025 a little bit lower on beef cow numbers than we started 2024 is my best guess. I mean, not massively lower, just the point is no net expansion. I think the summer of 2025, when those decisions about do I retain a heifer or do I send it to the market, sitting here today with my very gray, broken crystal ball, notice how I frame that. It's hard to forecast. But I do expect at the moment next summer we'll start the process of expansion. Okay. And by the summer of 2026, based on what I'm seeing today, we'll be full throttle in the process of that for the industry.
Okay. All right. Okay. Boy, that timeline is important for us to have a good handle on. Give me 30 seconds on pork movement, Glenn.
Yeah, that differs by cut. You know, we continue to have challenges in cut/product. Pork chop demand, prices for pork chops and other things for the loin are facing more challenges than, say, on the bacon category. That's not surprising, not necessarily anything new, but what I'm impressed on your listeners here is the U.S. public doesn't generally buy a whole hog. They buy specific cuts. So those that are in the market for those pork chop and more generally loin products tend to be a little bit different than those that are in the market for more processed products like bacon or sausage. And we're seeing a little more challenges on the loin front.
Gotcha. Big game this weekend against Okie State. Both teams trying to get right after getting beat up a little bit here last week. Good luck, buddy.
Well, thank you. I have lots of friends in Stillwater, but probably not this Saturday.
Good way to put it, Glenn. Thank you so much for making time for us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us
you
on.
You bet. All right. Get full coverage of the College Roadshow presented by Bex this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. Hey, join us again on Monday morning. We got Machinery Pete and Missy Bauer right here on AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most: our faith,
our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED